Well, this morning we are in Ephesians chapter 4. We were going to look at the first 7 verses, but I figured we didn't have all day and all afternoon, so decided to stop at verse 3. And he says, therefore. And again, remember, what's significant about the word therefore? Because of all that's gone on before it, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Thank you for your word, Father. Pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes and hearts, that we would receive it, we would practice it, we would live it, and that, Father, we would share it, Lord. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, my generation grew up without a computer, a personal computer. There were computers, these monstrous machines and monstrous rooms that probably did lot less than my first smartphone could do. So my generation, we are really blown away with the ability of personal computers and what we know as a smartphone and how much ability we have in this smartphone. But you know, this smartphone and computers can only work because they have a basic language that dictates how the app works and how things work. So this is the practical outworking of that language that's been there. So if we think about it like this, this phone is like our life. Our life is the practical application of the doctrine, of the teaching of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is to dictate our life and how we live. And so Paul has spent 3 chapters in the book of Ephesians talking about this doctrine. At every turn, there was very practical applications of that theology. But now he's going to hit a little bit more on the practical end of how this thing works out in the church. But again, just like the cell phone, your computer is open to attack, correct? It's open to attack by viruses. And a virus seeks to disrupt and to hinder or to break down communication. And that virus, we know in our life, if our life is the practical application of the basic language of Scripture, the doctrine, the theology, virus is a sin. It's sin. And we know that sin comes in to disrupt our lives. Sin comes in to attack us. Sin comes in to destroy, as the Scriptures tell us, that the enemy is the one who comes and seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And so as we practically live out, as we practically communicate, as we practically use the language, the theology that God has given to us. Now, unlike computer languages, which have gone through various generations and different types, I remember taking COBOL, Introduction to Computer Programming, at ELAC. There was Fortran. There's BASIC, which a lot of Bill Gates' work was based on. But I'm not an expert in that field, so I won't go any further than that. But the language that we live by, the theology, the teaching has been the same. This doesn't change. Yes, you might have a new international version, a new American standard, an English standard version, but they're simply modernizing the language, though the words that we use. But it's not a change in what it teaches. The teaching is the same. There are other aberrant Bibles out there that we just need to stay away from that have changed God's intention on words. Stick with the ESV, the NASB. Be careful with the new NIV. But friends, stick to the Word of God. Let's come to the Word of God. So Paul has spent 3 chapters on theology. He's going to spend 3 chapters on how to practically do this. In this passage, we're going to see 3 things that Paul wants to help us. So in order for us to do life together. Because did you realize that's what church is? That's a part of what church is? Doing life together? Because we're going to spend eternity together, right? And a lot of times church is just an add-on to my week. Oh, if I got time, I'll show up. You know, I'll get to the building one day. Well, you will with 6 people carrying you in and out. But that's not what God has ordained the church to be. The church is a living organism. It's a life-giving resource because we are the pillar of truth. We proclaim the truth. And again, as I've said it before and I say it again, we're thankful for the many years of faithful men and women of God who have sustained the work here at Pico Rivera since 1926. We have men and women who have taught, have loved, have encouraged, have given, have done work, and have done all kinds of things so that we would grow strong in what God needs to happen. Not just here in Pico Rivera, because through the extension here, we send out the Scovilles left from our church. They went to Indonesia. Joe Goodman also went from our church. But it's been a dry spell for missionaries being sent from our church. Maybe we need to consider, how can we do that? Maybe it's sending some of our people here to East LA to start a church, or to come and help come alongside and revitalize a church. And that's what the regional is about this year, this coming September, about planting churches and how we can work together. Because friends, we have a message. We have a message. In the old days, I know if we would have had cell phones and the blue light special went on at Kmart, I know the cell phone lines would have been busting. Comadre, come on down to Kmart. Anyway, some of you guys are like, what's Kmart, huh? Doing life together can be difficult, can't it? Can be kind of hard. You know, a family, they moved in, four adult siblings and their mom and dad into one big house. Thought about that. I don't know if we could have done that. Bring in our adult siblings all to live under one roof and their spouses and their kids. But isn't that what the church is called to do? Under one umbrella? Locally, we're Pico Rivera Bible Church. You have other churches in the area that they come under the umbrella of the church, a local church, and God wants us to do life together. And along that journey, there's bumps and bruises, isn't there? There's struggles, there's potholes, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So three things that we want to look at this morning. And the first one is a total commitment to live out our calling as Christians. Okay? This is a commitment to come back to the Word. What is the Word asking of me? What is the Word telling me? What is the Word commanding me to do to live my life as a Christian? Because that's what I am, as a child of God, forgiven, born again, washed in the blood. I am a child of God. I am called. Look at verse 1. Therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. Remember, we talked about that some weeks ago, that he's the prisoner of the Lord. We're not here. He's not here as a prisoner of Rome. He's not, because again, he's writing from prison. But I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of Caesar. I'm not a prisoner of the high priest. I'm not a prisoner of anybody but of the Lord. In other words, I take my orders from the Lord. So I'm here as a representative of the Lord, serving him. And as I serve him, I am imploring you. That's more than just ask nicely. I'm imploring you. I'm begging you. I'm challenging you. I'm calling for you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. In other words, take this serious, friends. Because the church is the testimony. We've seen that a couple different times in through the book of Ephesians. The church is the testimony to the world. In fact, the church is the testimony to the supernatural world. That God is in control, that Christ is the head of the church, and that we are working for his glory. For his greater glory, whatever might come. I implore you. Walk worthy. Walk this way. Walk as Christ walked. Walk according to the scripture. Walk according to the teachings. Don't write some do and don't list. Live according to the working of the Spirit of God in you. In other words, don't stay stagnant. When it identifies it as a walk, it's a journey. It's a movement. It's not just sitting back on resting on your laurels, or resting on the past experiences or past victories, or, hey, I'm saved, that's done. Come on, take me home, Jesus. No, I got work for you to do. Get busy by living it out. Paul tells the Corinthians to walk by faith. This is a faith journey. This is a reality here. He tells the Galatians, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is a Spirit-empowered living. It's not a matter of us. You know, in the old days, they used to teach you how to walk straight. They put a book on your head, and you would learn to walk. And you end up looking like a robot, right? I don't know, any of you take etiquette classes? Oh, none of you are that old, right? Friends, we are not here to be robots, but we are here called to live by the Spirit, therefore walk by the Spirit. It is His power in us that enables us, that gives us strength to reach out and to step beyond our comfort zone. It's the Spirit of God that gives us the boldness and the courage to say no when we need to say no, and yes when we need to say yes. Paul tells the Colossians, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In other words, walk according to Jesus' standards. More than just what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? Then walk in that. How would Jesus handle the situation? How did Jesus handle that situation? What is He calling me to do? How am I called to live out? How am I called to work together? How am I called to be side by side? Remember now, Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, sitting in the same room together at the same table and not, you know, wanting to kill each other. Think about Jesus. Who did He have on His right? Peter. And on His left was Judas at the Last Supper. Man, I wanted to kill the man, right? He's going to kill me. I'll take him out first. This isn't the Vario in East LA, okay, or Pico Rivera. This is Christ-sanctified work. And the church is that Christ-sanctified work where we, the past is the past. We lay down our allegiances to anything else and we give it to Christ to walk with Him. He tells the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 1, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do, that you excel still more. In other words, along with the Ephesians, the Thessalonian church at this time was a very mature, godly church. It was working at fulfilling everything that Christ had called them to do. And He says, you're actually doing what I want you to do, what Christ wants you to do. You're actually living to it, but do it better. Excel. Keep going. Don't just stay there. Don't just say, well, I read my Bible. What else do you want? Have you meditated on it? Have you memorized it? Have you shared it with somebody? Have you allowed it to transform your life? Talking about transformation, if you've ever seen the Transformers, they transform from their robotic bodies, powerful, strong, into cars that or vehicles that blend in with regular society, right? Well, friends, we're not transformers in that sense, okay? We're not to transform into a person who blends in with everybody else. We're called to be different. We're called to be who we are, Christians. And that's what Christ is asking of us. Through Paul, He's saying, walk in a manner worthy. Not just any old way, but in a manner worthy of the calling. Come with me to 2 John, please, chapter 1. 2 John is obviously after 1 John, right? And this is love, that we should walk, how? According to His commandments. This is a commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should what? Walk in it. He has given to us God's commandment. Take it and live in it. See, many times we try to excuse our bad behavior, don't we? Well, you know, that's just the way I am. Or tú sabes. You know, that's where I was raised. Or don't be so sensitive. Why are you getting all sensitive on me? Or you could take it or leave it, right? Besides, what are you going to do? Friends, all those, get them, throw them away. Because as a child of God, he asks you not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not a transformation that goes back and forth, but a complete renewal, a complete change. Walk in a manner worthy. He's not imploring you to continue walking. Not just a one time, not just when you feel like it, not just when it's convenient, not just when others are around, but it's a continual walking. That means our words, that means our thoughts, that means our actions, that means our attitudes. Sometimes we think we can get away with saying stuff that, man, in the old days, I'd have smacked you for that. The old days. But friends, if we are going to be a family, the family of God, doing life together, we need to get our act together. We need to act as Christ wants us to act. Because that's who we are. Because we have a new, as it were, operating system in us. Right? He says put on the new nature. To put off the old. Get rid of that. It's garbage. It's no good. Throw it away. Throw it out. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you in walking. So as we are working on ourselves, guess what happens? You know, in premarital or in marriage counseling, you know, I diagram out a triangle. God is at the top. The husband is here. The wife is here. As you're drawing closer to God, what's happening here? You're drawing closer. And this evidence in our lives is we are drawing closer as a family of God. We are drawing closer to each other with a commitment to have each other's back. Because we talked about this last week, that God, we are to surrender to the reality that God is doing, we need to surrender to the greater glory of God, which is always for our best. We may not see it, it may not feel like it, but it is for our best. So as we're all climbing closer to God, as we're all walking that walk, as we're all carrying out that purpose, we are drawing closer to each other, and that bond and commitment and desire to watch out for each other grows and deepens. It's just sadly in our society, with all this social media, you can have thousands of friends, but at best, most of them are just acquaintances. And some of them, you have no clue. It's amazing. I get people from around the world wanting to be my friend. I don't even know you. I don't have any connection with you. What are you doing? Are you trolling? Anyway. Don't get me started. Come back with me to Ephesians 4, please. The second thought is this, that if we're going to do life together, we need a deepening love that stays the course. A deepening love that stays the course. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. The walk that we are called to walk is a walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Part of this walk includes and involves humility. It's a humbling of ourselves. It's recognizing our place. I am a sinner saved by grace. Apart from the grace of God, there go I, as they say. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be out there too. I'd be home sleeping off a hangover. Probably alone. But with all humility and gentleness. Friends, this is how we treat each other, with humility. Looking out for each other. Thinking of others as we go down the road. Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 2, not only thinking of yourself, but thinking of others also as you gather, as you join, as you walk, as you live. Thinking of others also with all humility, with gentleness. With gentleness. With patience. I can be very impatient. And a lot of times the impatience shows more with my relationship with Sarah than it does with many of you. Unfortunately, sadly, it's true. We're harsher and rougher on those who are closest to us. Right, babe? Yeah. I could be very impatient at times. But I remember Christ wants me humble, gentle, and kind. That is the life I'm to live. That is the life I'm to practice. And I can't do it alone. The work of the Spirit of God is essential, is important, is necessary for that to happen. And I don't know how you are, but I know I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And I slip. I let myself revert back for a moment. A deepening love that stays the course, showing tolerance for one another in love. See, Paul doesn't just say, suck it up, dude. No, he says, practice humility, practice kindness or gentleness, practice patience. And if you're practicing these things, putting up with each other is not going to be that hard, is what he's saying. Showing tolerance for one another in love. Because guess what? We blow it. We sin. We mess up. Don't we? Any one of you not sinned this past week? And I don't mean that Sunday morning starts at the beginning of the week either, okay? Maybe I should say last week. Anybody not sin? Anybody of you not need forbearing love? Anybody here not need the kindness and gentleness and patience that we show with one another? Some of you, extra measure of patience was needed this week, right? And thank God, you know, we have a spouse that will, as it were, bear with us in love. See, through the good and difficulties in our relationships, we will grow and develop a bond, even though not everything works together correctly. You know, when you have a moving engine, you need oil to keep the friction down, right? Oil helps with the friction. It helps keep the heat down. It helps keep warming, wear and tear down. That's why you need to change your oil your manual says 3,000. The new oil says 5,000. So talk to your mechanic. Don't get your mechanical advice from me, but talk to your mechanic how often you need to change your oil. And it's really, really important. You know, if you have one of these little lawn machines, some of them are two-cycle engines. You put your oil in the gas so that it keeps it lubricated. You can't just put gas in a two-cycle engine without this additive. I say that to say this. Additive. Love is what Christ gives us so we can bear with one another, so we can, when the friction comes, work together. Even though we're not the same, even though we have different ways of doing things, it's getting done. Praise God for that. And we're working together with gentleness and kindness and humility and patience as we're growing, as we're developing. Sometimes we need to have patience with the adults like the patience we have with children. Yeah, but they should know better. Yeah, I know they should know better. Yeah, I know I should know better. But help us walk down together. Our love deepens in proportion to our Christ-likeness. A deepening love that stays the course, because friends, our friendships will be tested. Our brother and sisterhood with each other will be tested. Trials will come, difficult. I will walk in the manner worthy, but I will allow my love for you to deepen so that we can go through whatever comes our way. And it's all because we love because he first loved. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, doesn't act unbecomingly, does not seek, is not, does not, does not. Continues on with those words. This is what it is and this is what it isn't. Friends, let's abide by that. Let's look to that. Let's reach for that. Let's fight for that as we walk down our lives. Because friends, lives depend on us getting along so we can get the mission done. Again, part of the fruit of the Spirit. This love that we deepen is not our love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God producing in us. Again, from a couple weeks ago, since 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another. Fervent isn't for half-in people. Fervently loving is total commitment to honoring you with the love of Christ that is in me. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. verse 8. In your love for one another. All right? He's telling you straight out. Keep growing deeper in your love. Keep at it. Your brothers, your sisters, those who are in Christ, your in-laws, your outlaws, if they're in Christ, this is a commandment. We're to fervently love them because love covers a multitude of sins. This is not saying about a free jail card to do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to do. Well, it's true, isn't it? Yeah, but do you need to say it? But it's true. I have people, that's their go-to. But it's true that you're ugly. Well, don't say it. And another thing, a lot of times we think we have to say everything that comes to mind. We don't. They're called filters, God filters, right? Just like he says at the end of chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, things that you are, filters that you're to use on the things that you meditate on, there needs to be filters what you say. Because, friends, I know I'm guilty of this. I can be very harsh with my words. And I had to stop and think about what I'm saying. Is this fruitful? Is this beneficial? Is this godly? Is this necessary? Do I have to say it out loud in front of everybody? Do I need, you know, it's Matthew 18. If somebody sinned against you, what are you supposed to do? Blast them and put it out on face? No. Take them by side and talk to the person who's offended you, who sinned against you. There, then everything is fine, right? Move on. See, friends, we have a way of turning scripture, using it. Bro, you got to love me, right? You got to love me, yeah? I got to love you. But you got to love you got to love me too. So please stop calling me that kid, that name you called me as a kid, okay? I'm not that kid no more. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. So as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. That's taken to the next degree, isn't it? And that's why Paul told, tell those two ladies to straighten it out. Get it together. Fix it. And I'm sure there were guys he had to do the same thing too in church. Not just the ladies who are fighters, the men too. You know, is there, we'll get to the next point. But is there peace in our congregation? Is there unity? And that brings us to our third point. An all-out effort to pursue a unity marked by peace. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I'm going to give you a sports illustration, okay? Some of you may not get it, may not understand it. But there are teams out there. They do everything they need to do to win. But there's in the locker room is a mess. And what that's simply saying is there's no commitment to each other. There's no unity in the clubhouse. There's no backing each other. They're backbiting. They're throwing everything out on social media. They're angry with each other. They're frustrated with each other. You go into a losing streak, and then you start turning on each other. And this happens in a team locker room, and that's why they say the chemistry in the locker room is almost as important, probably just as important as their play on the field, because if they're not getting together, getting along with each other, then in the clubhouse, they're not going to get along with each other on the field. Friends, if we're not getting along in here, how are we going to get along out there? If we're not getting along with each other here, what's our commitment when we go out and have to face the culture and have to face the waves that are coming our way, the things that come to seek, kill, and destroy, the tornadoes in our lives, the hurricanes in our lives? If we're not willing to be committed here, in united peace, because you can have unity but no peace. And that's not what Christ is calling for. It's not unity at all costs. It's a unity in the bond of peace. The peace is that we have been forgiven by Christ. The peace is that I have put on compassion and mercy, and that I have to forgive you also, and you forgive me. And it's a working together in unity. That we have a mission to accomplish. We need to get the gospel to the world. And that gospel to the world might be your neighbors across the street. It might be somebody in your own household. But it's to get the gospel out there. You know, when Christians can't behave or get along, that's a bad testimony to the world. At one Christian organization, it wasn't the church, but it was a Christian school. Two of the custodians were fist fighting. And when the PD showed up, they were shaking their heads. Come on, guys, you're supposed to be Christians. What are you guys doing here? Why are you guys fist fighting? Because there's no unity, friends, in the bond of peace. Now, keeping unity at all, keeping unity is important, but it's in the bond of peace. This bond of peace comes as we're interacting with each other. Like I said about Matthew 18, if somebody's offended you, if you have misunderstood something, straighten it out, get it together, act, talk with them. Don't fall back on, well, that's the way I am. Don't fall back on, that's what I think I need to do. Or fall back on, well, you know, I remember when you told me this 5 years ago. So this is payback. Now, no. We get rid of that stuff, friends. Unity must abide. Teachers, elders, deacons. You know, so horror stories about what happens at deacon boards and elder board meetings in churches across the world. Friends, that cannot happen. I'm glad that we are so much further down the road on that as a church. But I remind us, when things get going, the enemy wants to throw stuff in there. He wants to throw sand in the oil so it'll disrupt the engine. Paul says, the psalmist writes, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Some of you don't like going to family gatherings because there's no unity. Some of you don't like going to family reunions because there's nothing but pleito. You know, some of you don't like going to certain places because you know there's just going to be an argument and da-da, 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 da-da. Friends, that can't happen with the church. We can't stay away because we don't get along. No, we need to learn to get along and do it the right way as we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, as we deepen our love for each other, as we're committed to a unity in the bond of peace. But then Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you, indeed, you were called in one body, and be thankful. Friends, love is the glue, but love is also bushing, as it were. A bushing is a rubber thing in a car suspension, and it helps absorb the bumps in the road. And guess what? As a church, there will be bumps in the road. There will be some disagreements. But the bushing, the love that we have for one another outweighs those things. The love that we have, the Christ love in us, will not allow that to blow up into major problems and church splits and church problems and church difficulties and church ineffectiveness. Where God puts a sign on the door at Ichabod, which simply was, the Lord has departed this place. In the Old Testament. Friends, let that never be anything that could be said of our church. That we are different, but we work together in the bond of peace. In our efforts to reach the world and to reach our communities, the damage that has been done by softening the message has just been horrendous. We try to water down the message so it won't be so hard for people to swallow it. We don't water down the message. Maybe what we need to do is shine ourselves up a little so Christ is seen in us. Maybe we need to take a little bit more seriously what the Word of God says so that we are, to people, we're like a fresh glass of water when they come and we listen to them and we hear their story and we share with them what the truth says. and that we give them a hope for eternity, not just a hope for this life, not just a more value for this life, not just better things for this world, which we're all in agreement with, but that we have a hope for eternity, a hope to meet Christ as not as judge, but as Savior. Friends, there is a serious attack on the Word of God today. We must take it and live it and not be ashamed of it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, but we need to walk in a manner worthy. We need to deepen our love for one another. And we must stand together, united in peace, for the cause of Christ. So the reputation that I have is about Christ. The reputation our church has is about Christ. I've told you in the past why we don't put out political signs out on our yard. Because I'm going to have the neighbors mad at me. It's not because I'm a donkey follower or an elephant follower, because I'm Democrat or Republican, but because I'm a Christ follower. If they're going to be mad at me, let them be mad at me because I follow Christ. But let it also be known as a place for respite, a haven of rest. Can our church be that? Is our church that? What do we need to make our church that? That's our prayer for the week. What do we need to work on? How can we be better at this? How can we excel more, as Paul told the Thessalonians? That, my friends, I pray, would be on your heart. Just as Nehemiah heard the words about the walls of Jerusalem and he was broken to tears, pray, Lord, that we pray that the Lord would reveal to us the areas in our church that we must work so we can walk in the manner worthy of his calling, so we can deepen our love and we can be united in peace. And for that, Father, I pray. And I pray, Lord, today that, Father, our hearts would be turned to you. That, Father, you would do what's necessary. That you would show us, you would teach us, you would lead us, you would open our eyes. And, Father, you would, along with that, give us the boldness and the courage to take the steps necessary and the wisdom to do that, Father. That our church would honor you first and foremost. That our church would be in line with what your word says it should be. And that, Father, people would come and would meet you here. And for that, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you all this week.